Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Relationships Rock. Today, we're talking about Barbies. This is a topic that I have had on my list since last season and have had so many requests. But honestly, I was really hesitant to record it because it is such a sensitive topic. And then this summer, the Barbie movie came out. And though I did not see it, it was impossible to avoid all the PR about it. It was everywhere. And reading some of the responses to the movie, it brought this whole topic together because Barbie is this gorgeous, not real, not proportional doll who never ages, changes, complains. She can do anything, and she is what every Ken doll wants. And I realized that it explained exactly what so many women struggle with, which is this image that they have to live up to, which is beautiful and perfect, and they're constantly comparing themselves to. And the truth is that I could go on this mushroom with from many angles, but I want to focus on the external pressures to look a certain way. And even more so in dating, where many feel or are told straight out that their looks are limiting their dating pool. I've heard from girls who were told by well-meaning shadchanim to go on a Zempic or to want to get married more than they want a sandwich, which is horrible and inappropriate to even say to someone. So this episode is really for all women because unfortunately, we as women have learned to hate our bodies, to compare our bodies to somebody else. The good news is that if you learn to hate your body, you can also learn to love it. And whether you are dating or married or a mother of someone in Shidduchim, there are a lot of gems that we will discuss in today's episode. I will start off by talking about weight in dating, which is a very heavy topic, pun intended, and then body image and how we can love the bodies that Hashem has given us. And if you're a guy, there are also some tips here for you, not just because one day you're going to be the father of someone who will be dating, but because you will also benefit from understanding what truly makes a marriage happy. And spoiler alert, it is not how beautiful your wife is when you marry her. And joining us in this conversation is my cousin Shana. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been waiting for season two the whole summer, and I'm super pumped for this episode.
So excited to have this discussion with you. You guys might have heard Shana in season one, and we're going to get started on this really heavy, but we're also going to keep it light, guys. Conversation, girl talk, just really keeping it real. I think it's hard when you hear how picky guys are with looks and shidduchim and dating and how they want a supermodel and how the numbers are against you if you're a girl. So there's a lot of pressure to look a certain way, to be able to get yeses and get married. And there are people who are told straight out, if you lose weight, then you will get married.
And it's funny you say that because what I find so comical is that losing weight does not equal self-confidence, which I really think is the name of the game here. Of course, you want someone who you think looks good for what you think you quote unquote deserve. But if you are, whether you're a man or a woman, when you're working out and you achieve what you think is your dream body, if inside you're empty, you're hollow, you're sad, it doesn't matter what your outside looks like because you're just an empty casing. And that's really challenging. And I think that's one of the big issues that I think is in the shidduch world today.
Definitely. And spoiler alert, we're going to talk a lot about this more a little bit later on when we discuss body image and self-esteem and everything that goes into that. I just want to make a distinction between healthy and not healthy. You know, if you're around in the world today, there's a lot of body positivity movement, which is like amazing. And nobody should ever tell you, you need to lose weight or to get a nose job or to change anything about yourself. That's not their place. But even with that in mind, we do have to make a conscious distinction between being unhealthy and being upset of how that limits you and people judge you for it, and being healthy and wanting to learn to love yourself. I say this because in every conversation about body acceptance, you know, like you do you, which is fine. You could totally do you. There's an underlining frustration for other people not accepting this you, meaning you can choose to say with anything, not just weight, this is who I am. I want someone to love me for who I am. But depending on what that is, it might limit your choices. And you might get frustrated because the person you want doesn't want you. And I don't think it helps anyone to not be realistic. And I've mentioned this in many forms in the Being Real episode in season one. And The fact is that humans are biologically attracted to fertility, which means if someone looks unhealthy, our brains are programmed, whether you're a man or a woman, to interpret this as a factor that can potentially hinder fertility. So automatically, you just won't be attracted. And like I said, this works both ways. You know, women are also less attracted to men who are, for example, obese because they biologically look unhealthy. By the way, as a side point, there was actually a study in the UK which found that the quote unquote, you know, clothing size that men are most attracted to is a clothing size 12, which is a super normal average size because that's healthy and that represents fertility. So what we're talking about here is not, you know, oh, healthy means looking like a supermodel. We get so caught up.
That's actually not healthy.
Yeah, totally not healthy. And by the way, also has fertility issues or could have fertility issues. We get so caught up comparing ourselves to others. And this is what, by the way, why I love singles events, because I feel like when you meet someone in person, you would often go for somebody who you wouldn't when you see their picture, because you see their energy. You know what I'm talking about, Shauna?
Like 100%.
You're attracted to them instead of looking at their picture as like a comparison to others.
And I think that no matter the size, you can always find something, especially now you have so much size inclusivity that you can always find something that looks good.
Yeah. And you know, we get so caught up on looking in the mirror and picking ourselves apart. And especially when somebody's struggling with weight, that tends to be like the only thing they see.
Yeah, but it's a big cloud.
Yeah, but like you can look in the mirror and look at all the things that you like about yourself. You know, like if you like your eyes, so highlight your eyes, get makeup. Think about the things that you love about yourself. Highlight those. If you like colors, right? Wear colors.
And not only think of good things about yourself, but even if you're thinking bad things about yourself, which is natural and everybody does it, don't say it. And it's a very hard exercise because it is natural for us to just word vomit negative things. And it's very challenging for some people to give compliments, for example. But when you have a negative thought, you just want to vomit it and you want to just say it. But don't say it because you're creating a positive feedback in your body of something that's negative. You're thinking it, you're saying it, and you're hearing it. So your body is getting it from three different directions, and it's really hurtful. And I know this sounds so cliche and so, you know, but really how we talk to ourselves really matters, the same way that how we talk to others matter. If you wouldn't say it to your sister, your friend, your significant other, don't say it to yourself.
Yeah, like why is it okay to tear yourself apart when you would never do that to somebody else? And we spend most of our time with ourselves in our head. Don't let your mind bully your body. Like take, you know, a different perspective. And for anyone here who decides, you know what, I do want to go on a journey with my body. I want to get healthier. Always think about what's the goal that you want to accomplish. I say this with any decision you make in life. And if you want the goal to love the version of yourself, then be very clear. You know, you're working out because you love yourself. You're going on a health journey because you want to invest in your body. And if it's something you can control, great, make your goals. You know, if you're healthy and this is the body you have, so okay, like maybe you weren't meant to have the challenge of beauty, because beauty, by the way, is also a challenge. And you might think, well, it widens my dating pool, but it's not necessarily a positive thing.
Yeah. And you're judged in other ways. You're judged in other ways that you know, that you might not even realize. And even let's say that you, in what I'm about to say, I really think it applies to everyone, whether you're having challenges with weight or body image or any type of challenge. I think that when you are sensing that you're in a little bit of a funk and you're feeling low on yourself, I think something that's really important that will have a drastic positive effect on you, on your body, on your mind, is picking something that you want to be good at. Choose something that you want to improve, a new skill you want to pick up, or a skill that you already have that you want to perfect. And I think that having a skill that you're good at will not only improve your self-esteem because you feel competent and skillful, but you have something you can feel proud of. You'll know that you can accomplish anything you set your mind to. And in a way, I feel like you're proving to yourself that you can learn, you can progress, you can improve, you have other valuable skills besides for what people are thinking about you, which is irrelevant. And I will, you know, touch upon this later, I think, in the episode. But over time, I think that with this new skill, you'll start seeing yourself differently. And whatever self-limiting beliefs you ascribe to yourself will fade away slowly, and you'll improve your self-esteem. So I think this is something big. If there's one thing, I think, hopefully more than one thing, that, you know, people that you take from this episode is pick one thing, small changes. Like, you know, they're saying Rome wasn't built in a day. Every day is a challenge. Every day is an opportunity. And we say this in our life when you say Modeani, thank you, Hashem, for having the faith in me. You don't say, oh, I'm so lucky I wake up. No, you're saying, Hashem, thank you. You have faith in me that I can do better today than yesterday. And I really think that whether you're a child, an adolescent, an adult, married, single, a grandparent, whatever, it's a challenge for everyone. And every day we have to say, okay, it's a new day. If I made a mistake yesterday, or if I made a mistake 5 minutes ago, now is a new opportunity for me.
Yeah, and we're so bombarded with messages and images. And I can't stress enough the importance of you to really guard your eyes on so many levels. But, you know, I actually once heard this, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned a different podcast, you know, the concept of Ben Porat Yosef, right? That Yosef was protected from Ayin Hara because he didn't look at Potiphar's wife. There's a certain protection that comes for you when you cover your eyes. And of course, for guys, covering your eyes has different meanings. But for women also, just because you're a woman, looking at certain images is not going to, you know, help build you. And I want to address a point here, which is, instead of looking at like the deck of cards that life has dealt you as a way of limiting your choices, think of it as it's narrowing down and actually filtering your choice. Like, yes, look, your weight and the way you look will 100% limit your dating pool. Like, that is just a fact.
Yeah, but so does a lot of things, like your profession, your family structure, unfortunately, the people you hang out with, how you dress. All these things are just natural filters that we don't think of them as such sometimes, but they are filters.
Yeah, but if you look at it as a filter, as a way to make sure that you're only going to marry the type of person that you need for your tikkun in this world, then it's not a negative. You know, for those listeners here who are married, think about the person you're married to, okay? If you had endless choices, maybe you wouldn't have chosen them, but that's the person that is meant for you, you know? So having less choices does not mean that you have to think of it as like, oh, take whatever comes at you and settle, quote unquote, for someone that doesn't share the same core values or essence as you. It means that it allows others to focus on parts of you, a different value of you. And you can also focus on that on somebody else. And in a way, it allows you to look past the physical, which is anyways fleeting, and to look beyond that.
Yeah. And, you know, this reminds me of a conversation we had in the summer. And, you know, we had talked about how, of course, you want someone who is attractive, and you want you attractive to you, and you want to be attractive to them. And having that physical and emotional connection is very important, and we don't take it for granted. At the same time, beauty is the only depreciating value, the only depreciating asset, I'm sorry, that you have. And with time, it'll just fade away. It's the natural progression of things. However, that is the one thing that depreciates with time. Everything else, if you invest properly and you work on yourself and you enrich yourself in so many other ways, psychologically, intellectually, emotionally, with your family, relationships, with Torah and mitzvot, everything that you know, if you're working in the field and you're planting and you're watering and you're harvesting and you're doing everything you can in your field, the only thing that will just not work out as well is beauty. But everything else will just continue to flourish even better and better and better as time goes by. So that's just something to keep in mind. And everyone fluctuates. Everyone's physicality changes. Sometimes people get sick and they have medical procedures, or they, whatever, you have
get older.
You get older. It's normal. Things are not where they were 20 years ago. Just things look Things look different, and that's normal, but that's beauty. That means you have lived. God has given you the gift of life, and not everybody can say that.
Yeah. And what's funny is a lot of times the thing that we quote unquote define ourselves as that stands out, like, oh no, this is the worst part of me, most people don't even notice. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting how it works. Like, our mind sometimes bullies our bodies, you know, so much.
People don't really think about you that much or care
they really don't care
as you think. And it's funny because, you know, we went to a co-ed high school, and I remember being like a little bit jealous sometimes of, you know, some girls that had boyfriends in high school or like people that they were friends with or whatever. But in retrospect, I think it was so, of course I had crushes on people, of course. But I now looking back, it was so enriching for me to have that time with my friends and with myself and just really morph into who I was about to become as an adult. You feel that your value sometimes as a woman is tied to the male gaze or how pretty people think you are or how, but like I had good self-esteem, and was I sad that maybe the person that I liked didn't like me back? Sure, who wouldn't be? But at the same time, I was having a great time with my friends. I didn't have time to cry over some boy. And so I think that if you are really working on yourself, whether you're in high school or college and really in perpetuity, if you're always working on yourself, you really will morph into a beautiful, beautiful butterfly forever.
Yeah. And I love how you said how a lot of times, especially for girls, they get these messages of the more guys that are attracted to you, like the better you are. Like it's almost like the male gaze, as you said, it is what makes your worth, which again is so, so sad. And it actually creates a ton of issues for the girls who are, you know, very, very objectively beautiful. And I want to give a message to any of the male listeners, to all the guys who are listening, who are in Shidduchim. You know, one day you're going to be the fathers of daughters in Shidduchim, and you can marry a gorgeous, skinny girl, but if she hates her body and she hates herself, she's not going to let you touch her. It's not something that she's going to enjoy or you're going to enjoy. You really have to look for somebody who loves themselves and, of course, be attracted. We're not denying that. I've never denied that. But don't think that someone who is skinny and stunning, but who is miserable inside, and I know that that's not, you know, it's not the only the polar opposites that are possible, will make you happy, or that that means that automatically something like intimacy will be amazing, because intimacy goes beyond what two people look like, but rather how they connect, how they give, and how much they love themselves and each other.
And of course, attraction is important, whether you are thinner or thicker or curvier, whether you're a male or a female. Of course, attraction is important. But as you said, your worth, your self-worth is really the most important. And this shouldn't really be tied to anything. And unfortunately, society is so harsh that even when, you know, this whole like liberalist view of, you know, feminism and women being, you know, undressed really, and that's how you are unleashing your femininity, that's really doing quite the opposite of what they want to do. And versus the other side too, always be ashamed of what you look like, your body is shameful. So both sides of the spectrum are not good, and we need to be in a healthy middle. Be happy with yourself, work on yourself. Males too, and I think it's funny because sometimes, you know, guys, everyone thinks they should be with a top 10 model looking person, but really be honest with yourself and look and say, you know what, I think I'm beautiful, I think I'm great, I'm a great catch. Am I like really like top 10 situation? Odds are probably not. And so you really need to be honest with yourself. And there's always more than one meets the eye. There's always something more. Take the time, explore, get to know. There's so much more. Some people are incredibly effusive, and that makes them more attractive. And there are other people that are more meek, and that makes them like not less attractive, but they're just more invisible. And just take the time, get to know them. One date is not going to hurt.
you know, again, I think people have this concept of attractional looks are going to equal a happy marriage. And I'm fortunate to be in the helping field. And I can tell you that weight and looks do not cause as many shalom bayit problems as healthy self-esteem. You know, how someone views themselves and how your spouse views themselves is more telling than how attractive either spouse is. You know, people make fun of me because they say every question I ask, the answer is usually hashtag love yourself. But it's
you should trademark it.
I really should. But if I were to ask you, what's the biggest remedy to shalom bayit, I would literally say hashtag love yourself. Because love, you know, low self-esteem is more damaging to individuals and to couples and to families than how attractive or skinny somebody is. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all have things that describe us, but they don't define us. And I think that's the biggest lesson in aging and why we're meant to age and get older, is to realize what truly makes us who we are. You know, I saw this quote actually posted on my status. This says, you know, you have fat, that doesn't make you fat. You also have fingernails, but that doesn't make you fingernails. So I want to transition into talking about having a positive body image, which I know we did, you know, speak about throughout, which is really at the core of all the insecurities we feel, especially in dating. But they even continue once we're married. You know, marriage is not like this ticket to like heaven where you're like, I have no more issues in my life. You know, your body, especially if you're a woman.
You can wish, right? You can wish that it'll be your ticket for
I know, right? Like,
hardship-free situation.
You know, I always tell people that the test of emunah, which is really throughout life, but in dating, there's a huge test of having emunah, of holding on, is really you working a muscle, which you're going to use later in life. It doesn't stop, you know? And once you get married, your whatever challenges you have now, on the contrary, just come out like a flower. They bloom, you know, even so once you're married. And if you struggle with self-esteem and body image, which, hello, all women, girls, females do, and unfortunately, it's actually becoming an issue with men also, which, you know, we're not addressing, but it is, because again, of all the images, you know, if you feel like hating your body is something you can learn, then it's also something you can unlearn. There's a quote by an actress, Kate Winslet, that really drove this message home. She said, "As a child, I never heard one woman say to me, 'I love my body.' Not my mother, not my elder sister, not my best friend. No woman has ever said to me, 'I am so proud of my body.' So I make sure to say that to my daughter, because a positive physical outlook has to start at an early age." And this was really like amazing, because when you start to think about the messages that you got as a kid, which, by the way, a lot of them were not on purpose, right, Shana? Like generation messages that are just passed down, or cultures. But then you sort of think about, how am I going to change the language, you know, for my own daughter? And I want to pause here to share a personal story. You know, I always say everything I preach, I do. And I worked really hard when I was single to really get to a very healthy self-esteem and just really loving myself. And there were a lot of things that I did. And amongst them, you know, I threw out my scale. I didn't weigh myself for years. I stopped looking at calories. You know what I'm saying? Just to really focus on working out because I love my body. You know what I'm saying? Like looking as as an investment. After I had my first baby, it was really hard. You know, like your body goes through so many changes. And I remember I spoke to one of my teachers from high school, Mrs. Esther Grossman, and she gave me advice that really changed how I view things, and I have applied till today. She told me two tips. She said, number one, don't let weight limit you. And by the way, weight here also means anything that's, you know, physical, external, that you think limits you. She's like, don't stop living your life. You know, there are people who they won't go to events because of the way they look. They don't want to go out. They don't want to hang out with friends. They don't want to dress in the color they like, you know? And number two, make choices that will inspire your daughter. And that was like, whoa, like mind blowing. You know, I really started to think long and hard of, how do I want to raise my daughters in a way that they would learn to love their bodies and to love food and to see it as fuel and something positive? And, you know, again, we get so many generational messages of as children. And I want everyone here to think about, like, what are the messages that you got as a kid and are still getting as a woman?
And it's funny because, you know, when we talk about generational trauma of all different kinds, and especially with food, I want to share this funny story, Raquel. you know, for everyone that's listening, Raquel and myself and our siblings, we shared many, many meals together with our whole family. And there was Baruch Hashem, an abundance of food in real Latin Sephardi fashion, like way too much. And, but there's never too much, right? Because everyone's going to starve. But when we wanted more, we would say, okay, who's going to ask? Who's going to ask? And we would go to our grandmother, Alava Shalom, and we would say, you know, can we have more? But the person who the food was for was not the one who was asking. The one who was asking was one of us cousins, I'm not going to say who was younger and very, 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 very thin. And of course, my grandma's going to give her a bunch of food because she wants her to eat. But it's funny because if she ate too much and she looked a little bit not in the way my grandma wanted to look, again, subconsciously, she would be like, I think you've had enough. But of course, we all gave this person our plates and we would get a lot of serving.
Because our grandma would basically give you a food portion based on what you looked like. And we, again, she didn't say straight out. This was totally...
And we all looked fine.
Yeah, but she wouldn't say straight out. It's not like she would look at you and be like, let me analyze you. But these were the messages that we got. And, you know, when I was in my own health journey, I remember speaking to my mom, who's also in the helping field. And I said to her, like, why did you give me so many of these messages? Like, they're so messed up. And she said to me, like, her eyes tearing up. And she's like, those are the messages that I heard. You know, like, that's the way that I was raised. And anyone here who grew up in like a Sephardic Moroccan, especially also Hispanic home, you know, there were a lot of messages about food, about your body, about, you know, like we're Hispanic. The joke is you could be starving, but your nails are done, your hair is done, you're wearing heels. Like,
yeah, there's no way you don't look good. Going back to our grandma, there was another instance where someone was sharing with her like a really nice, positive, uplifting dream of someone else in her family who had passed away. And the first question that my grandma asked, did she look fat? Like, hello. First of all, this person is dead. And second of all, she's missing the whole point of the uplifting dream. Like, this dream.
Can we just pause for a second? You know, our grandmother who actually passed not so long ago, we love her so much. And we're not at all making fun of her family. This is just to be cognizant of, this is the messages that you as children grew up with. You know, when your grandma's telling you, like asking about a dream you had about someone who passed away, and her first question is, was she fat in the dream? It's like, hello, what are these messages?
Yeah.
But I want to kind of transition into using this as a stepping stone to say, what are the messages that you grew up with? And what are the messages that you are going to teach your children? How are you going to change the language that you grew up with? And, you know, again, partially through my own health journey, but also through Mrs. Grossman's advice, I started to think about, what are some words that I don't want my daughters to grow up with? You know, I don't use the word scale, weight, calories, nothing in front of my kids. I don't make any negative comments about the way I look like. I don't want my daughters to grow up like that. And, you know, when I look in the mirror, right, and my kids are watching me, what am I saying? Because they're not looking at the mirror. They're not judging me.
They're looking how you look at yourself.
Yeah, they're looking at me to see, how do I respond? How am I speaking to myself? I am teaching my children how to love themselves. And the greatest lesson you can give your children is to love themselves. Whatever messages you grew up with and how much they affected you, you can make a change. Whatever generational trauma there is, you can definitely do it. And, you know, this is the body that you have, you know. I heard a quote, stop trying to fix your body. It's not broken. You know, this is it. Like, you can't ask to change it. You can't get a new one. So why not just love it and embrace it? Like, you have legs, you have hands, you can move, you can do, you can dance. This sounds depressing, but if you read about or listen to people who have lost limbs or the ability to move their bodies, you will think you're like the luckiest person in the world and so, so beautiful because you have a body that's, you know, healthy and it works. And I think the biggest problem is, we kind of think of the world as extremes. Like, for me to be happy, I need to be an extreme, you know, like it's black and white. And that's not how beauty is. And that's not how loving ourselves is either.
Interesting and challenging and just all around consuming about this issue is that We are so worried about what other people are saying about us or what they're thinking about us. But I want to tell you guys a secret that I discovered. That what other people say about you really says more about them than it says about you. You know, most people are not giving you objective advice or their real sincere opinion. And they're really telling you things based on their past experiences or their limiting beliefs, their fears, the way they were raised. They're really projecting on you what they are insecure about. They're using your insecurities to make themselves feel good. And so when you're talking, especially when you're talking about negative stuff, it's anybody who intentionally, which is where we have to be very careful, is putting others down, they are the ones who don't feel good about themselves. I like to call them bucket dippers. You know, that's how we like talk about bullying and stuff. But, you know, when certain people keep other people down because it makes them more important, you got to watch out. And whether it is a parent, a family member, a friend, you can hear what they're saying, but you don't have to listen to it. And you most certainly should not internalize it because it's really hurting you. And we have to be, just how we have to guard our eyes, we have to guard our ears because everything really affects you.
Yeah, and I want to add to that. I think you also have to guard your thoughts. I think you have to really be conscious of what internal voice and what thoughts you're saying to yourself. You know, this past summer, when we were on a break from a Relationships Rock, and I know a lot of you missed it. I also did.
I missed it.
Yeah, I was running a workshop, a dating workshop, and it was all about loving yourself and tapping into feminine energy. Totally shameless plug here. Really, the feedback was like amazing. And I think that the biggest investment you can do in your life is to invest in yourself. That has the highest, you know,
return.
Yeah, the highest return. And
one thing I want to say, and it's something that I have learned, you know, throughout my life, throughout my experiences, is that a lot of times, if we don't fit a certain criteria of whatever it is the most beautiful or the smartest or the most perfect or the whatever it is, we act like side characters. But really, you are the protagonist in your own story. This is your life. So we have to start living our life like we are the main character, because we are. Walk straight, head up high, shoulders back. You're here in this world to do good things, to live a good life. Whether you look your best or you think you can look better or you are not thinking the best things of yourself, it doesn't matter. Fake it till you make it, and you will make it. Walk straight. You are the protagonist of your story. So when you walk into a room, be proud. No imposter syndrome. You deserve to be there. You are there. Be proud. Hashem brought you in this world right now and not 20 years ago or 50 years from now, because you're meant to be here right now. So be the protagonist.
I totally love that. Actually, Rabbi Wolbe says how the day you were born was the day that God decided the world could not exist without you. And every single day you're alive is because this world needs you. And when you look at the big picture and you say, okay, I have a tikkun in this world. I have something that I have to do. And this is the greatest gift that I have, is my body and my health. You look at things differently. And, you know, again, shameless plug, I know I did that workshop on energy. Really, your energy attracts. I 100% believe it. Like Shauna said, if you believe you're a protagonist and you walk into a room and you just have this beautiful, happy energy, it transcends the outside, you know, it attracts. And the same way, you can have a really objectively beautiful person, but if they have bad energy, if anyone here has met somebody that was in a bad mood or bad energy, you're like, ugh, I want to like stay away from them.
You recoil. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like even as I'm saying it, I'm like, ugh, like I don't want to be near that person. But like when you're smiling and you have good energy, I'm not saying that you can fool people and become a supermodel, but that's not the goal. The goal is to attract the person that is meant for you. And again, if you look at all these physical things as they don't limit you, but they filter to attract the people that are best for you. They filter to attract the real friends, the real yes. husband, you know, the real wife, then, you know, it's like
your chosen family. It attracts your chosen family. And that really has a huge impact on how you see yourself, how you carry yourself, the choices that you make. And 100%. It's your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah, I love that. And everything that you have is for a reason. Stop tearing yourself apart. Build yourself up. When you take a look back and say, okay, your body is the greatest tool that you have in this world. It's a gift from Hashem. And you can use it to accomplish everything that you do. It just changes your mindset. You know, people often say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I want you to realize that you are the beholder. You have all the beauty inside. You just have to see it. I want to thank Shana again for joining us. And I look forward to speaking to you guys soon.
Raquel, thank you so much for having me. It's always such a treat and such a pleasure and such an honor to be invited back. And I'm so pumped for everyone to hear this episode. I think it's something that we both really believe in, and it's something that we have both worked really hard on. And I'm so proud of this episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you again.
Thank you for joining, Shana. Literally every episode you have been on has been a blast to record, for sure. Has got amazing feedback. And people always ask me, they're like, can I contact her? Like, is she coaching? And I'm like, you know what? She's not, but she should be. So I think we should be pushing here for a career change for Shana. She works in the medical field. And I think she, you know, could do a lot of good here. So thank you for sharing your gems, your rocks. And we hope to have you again soon.
Thanks so much.